Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Paul's way of writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 indicates that the church in Corinth had doubts and questions about him and about his apostleship. Why else would he open the chapter in such a bold way? Listen to these verses. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, yet surely I am to you. For you in the Lord are the seal of my apostleship. My defense to those who examine me is this. Here is a striking account of the apostle commissioned with the majority of the New Testament revelation, forced to make a bold defense of his own apostleship. But in so doing, much was revealed about the Corinthians that were doubting him, and much is revealed about us as well. Dick Taylor has joined us. Dick, this is a striking portion in the Scripture, isn't it?
It really is, and it really reveals what kind of person Paul was, and it really exposes what most of us are really like. So we need this portion. Actually, Chris, in just studying this portion a little, I realized, wow, this not only reveals such a pattern to us, but drives us desperately to touch the Lord that we might genuinely be pure as believers of the Lord.
Dick, this matter of purity is very important. We're going to see today that in such a strong speaking, a frank speaking, and especially when he was speaking about himself, Paul being pure in his motive was an absolute essential for him to be able to utter such words without it even making the situation worse. And just for the sake of our listeners, to give a little background here, some of those in Corinth were accusing Paul of profiting personally from the gifts, the material offerings that were being offered up for the advance of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the context here. And so now some of these references make more sense, I think, if we understand what was going on behind the scenes.
Right.
And Paul, of course, was clear of those charges. But in so doing, we have an illustration of the living of someone so much in union, so much in oneness with Christ, and pure, as you said, in his motive. This is really an important factor as we get into these verses, isn't it?
It's true, and it's like all of Paul's epistles, they're all written based upon a problem.
Yeah.
But it brings us to the Lord in such a precious way, and also brings us to Paul as a pattern of somebody who is really one with the Lord.
Let's join Witness Lee, Dick.
Paul, when he comes to chapter 9, he says something directly concerning himself. And this indicates that the Corinthian believers also had a problem about Paul as the apostle. In other words, they also had a problem about Paul's apostleship. I think they should have some amount of talk among them, that whether Paul was an apostle or not. So Paul, he just became so frank, strong, and direct. I must tell you, in the entire Bible, among the 66 books, not one chapter is so direct, so frank, and so strong. You just read the first verse of chapter 9. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? My, too frank, too direct. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? 4 questions. These 4 questions are 4 bullets. Pop, 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 pop. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, O Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? What spirit is this? What spirit is this? This is a frank, bold, and clean spirit. Very clean. In chapter 9, especially in these first 15 verses, no portion of the Bible shows us a person so clean, so pure as the Apostle Paul. Unless a person is so clean, so pure, no one can write such verses.
Dick, as we come to this book and we see, you already pointed out the matter of the problems. Paul's dealing with all of these problems. On the one hand, we get instruction, practical instruction, because many of these problems are things that we have to deal with in our personal life and our church life. But more so, we're really seeing the opportunity for a God-man living to be on display before us, aren't we, as we look at the apostle here?
We really are. And as we're seeing Paul as such a pattern, I'm just thinking right away of Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And in this sense, we see Paul was a real pattern in his purity. Another verse I'm thinking of in Philippians 3, Chris, although he was in the middle of many things, he said, "Only one thing I do, I pursue toward the goal for the prize." His only goal was to gain Christ and enjoy Christ, pursue, gain, and enjoy Christ. So because his goal was Christ alone and not anything else, he himself was constituted to be such a pure person. So it's like Brother Lee mentioned, there's no other section like this in all the 66 books. I mean, just like verse 1, he is bold. Who can say that? Am I not free? Am I not an apostle, etc.? He just was bold. How could he be this way? Because he'd been constituted with Christ in such a wonderful way. Taking Christ as his one unique goal. He was not taking many goals. He had Christ himself as his one unique first love. So this allowed him to be bold, frank, and direct. And it's not like we are. Many times we're polite and political. Because we're not so constituted with this Christ. So as I mentioned earlier, I just appreciate so much Paul's a pattern here of one constituted with Christ who is really pure and really clean. So he's a reproduction of this Christ. And number two, this really exposes us and should drive us to the Lord in such a desperate way. And admitting to the Lord, "Lord, I'm not that pure. I'm not that clean. Mm-hmm. I need more of you constituted into my being. Oh, Lord Jesus, fill me more today that I might be just like this pattern, the Apostle Paul."
Dick, doesn't it remind you also a little bit of the Lord Jesus when he went into the temple to clean it up, you know, and he was quite, in a sense, provoked to the point of being angry, not angry in a sinful way, but in a righteous way, because, of course, he had the standing to have such a reaction to what had happened to, as he termed it, his father's house. But Paul, now, of course, we're not equating Paul with the Lord Jesus in that sense, but Paul was very much in that pattern, able to be so bold and so strong because of his purity. And I think we should point out by purity here, purity means just that, as you said, in his motive, there was only one thing he was seeking. Mm-hmm. This one thing I do, and that is to pursue, right?
Right, right. And so, like you said, Chris, this is really true. The Lord was so pure, otherwise he couldn't so boldly clean the temple like that. And Paul was just filled with this wonderful Christ. So Paul was a real pattern, but we have to make it clear, Paul himself is not the life-giving spirit, but the Lord Jesus is the life-giving spirit. And this causes us, through Paul as a pattern, to enjoy Christ even more and to realize we need filled with this one who is uniquely pure, uniquely clean, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Dick, the verse that ends this first section in chapter 9, verse 15, comes back to the thing we pointed out at the beginning, and that is that the Corinthians, some of the Corinthians at least, were questioning Paul's apostleship, and number two, were suspecting that he was cheating them.
That's right.
In his improper usage of the offerings and the gifts. So Paul says in verse 15, "But I myself have not used any of these things, and I have not written these things that it may be so with me.
Mm-hmm.
For it is good for me rather to die than no one shall make my boast void." Here's Witness Lee, Dick.
Chapter 9 is an insertion. This section deals with the matter of eating. But in this insertion, he gives his receivers a kind of a deep impression that he was so pure, so genuine. In other words, that they are not pure. You examine me. You doubt about my apostleship. You are impure in your motive, in your thinking, in your mentality, in your feeling, in your thought. You are impure. If you are pure, just like me, you would not doubt about me. You would not doubt about apostleship. The Corinthians thought Paul was fooling them, cheating them. They saw the Apostle Paul rob them by some kind of a craft. I could never forget Bernice Word, because he was also examined by some. He was also doubted about by some. When he was doubted, you know what he said? He said, if you have ever been a robber, robbing others, you just rob once, then you always would be very careful that others will steal you. If you have never robbed others, you would never think that others would steal you. Do you understand his word? Paul was pure, but the Corinthians were not pure. They were dirty. They were stealers. Now they would think that probably Paul, a Jew, coming to them, playing craftiness to rob them. Could you believe that the Corinthians even thought that Paul robbed them? Could you believe this? They considered Paul in this way. That's dirty. That's impure. Now you understand the most hidden evil in the church life is impureness. And you have to realize we all are fallen people. According to our fallen nature, we all are impure.
Dick, the wisdom here is such that how can this be other than God's word? On the one hand, it seems like the apostle is the one that's under the scrutiny, having the suspicion. But in the way it's portrayed, it's very clear where the light was really shining. What was really being exposed was the impurity of the believers in Corinth. And in turn, it exposes all of our impurity as well, doesn't it?
It really does. I like what Brother Lee said, don't you, Chris, where he said, by Paul's strong insertion here, he closed the door on these impure thoughts. In other words, Corinthians reasoning, you know, Paul did this and that because he wanted something from them. He's cheating them. He's robbing them. This really exposes their impurity and their dirty thoughts. And it causes us to realize that the most hidden evil in the church life is this impurity and this dirtiness related to motive and intention. So I appreciate so much that Paul closed the door by this insertion. And also, Watchman Nee really exposed this matter, didn't he?
He really did.
He said, and it's true. Even as a kid when you're growing up, if you did any kind of stealing of anything, you were always suspicious that somebody was going to steal something from you.
Yeah, it's the robber's house that has the bars and chains and
that's right.
And security system.
That's right. If you look at a house and every single window is barred. So this is really true. The principle is really true. So Watchman Nee realized that many were impurely accusing him and this kind of thing. So he spoke this principle. But it really exposes the most hidden evil in the church life, the most damaging thing is our impure and dirty thoughts related to the brothers, or in this case, related to Paul the Apostle. So praise the Lord for this insertion that closes the door. And one more point that I'd like to just share here, Chris, is the context of this insertion. I know we'll get to it later in the program, but Paul's motive was 100% Christ and his body. And I just appreciate the context here of chapter 9, this insertion. Listen to the last verse in chapter 8, verse 13. Therefore, if food stumbles my brother, I shall by no means eat meat forever, that I may not stumble my brother. So I just realized in context, Chris, Paul's burden, even in this insertion, his motive was so pure because he was not wanting even any of the young ones in Corinth to be stumbled by all this needless, junky talk about him as an apostle. He had to step in, speak boldly, frankly, and directly, and express how pure he is in this insertion because he was burdened that young ones in the church there would not be dirtied and damaged, and particularly he uses this word stumbled. So you can see, even in this insertion, in the context of chapter 8, he has only one burden, one intention, one motive, and that is Christ and the care for his body.
You know, Dick, there's a kind of a principle that's also very scriptural and biblical, and Paul practiced it as well at times, and that is to suffer the wrong and not to engage in defending and vindicating yourself. But there is this example of Paul. In a sense, he is vindicating himself, but not for his own gain, not for his own sake, because his heart and his motive is so occupied with the Lord's interests.
Amen.
That when those interests are at jeopardy, then he was very quick and very strong and very definite to be clear so as to dispel these questions that could really interrupt the dispensing of God's economy.
That's right. Interrupt the dispensing and stumble the brothers.
Yeah.
So he's wanting to shut the door. Hallelujah for this shutting door word.
Oh, boy. Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Suppose today you come to my home and give me a gift. You come with such a gift. But suppose Sister Lee would think, this brother comes with a gift for a purpose. That Brother Lee would do something for him. Tell me, how about this thought? Is this sinful? Not sinful. What is this? The impure. This is impure. Today, in the church life, many problems are due to the impureness. I do this in order you may do that for me. I am impure. And you do something, and I have a thought that you are taking advantage. My thought is impure. My, we have to close the door of this mind that is easy to have the impure thinking. Because we are impure, so we are not bold. So we are not frank. So we are not strict. So we are not direct. We are impure, so we are polite. Behind that politeness is impureness. The underlying factor of the problems in the church is the impureness. The Corinthians, on the one hand, they welcomed Apostle Paul. On the other hand, they doubted about him. This is impureness. But he was really behaving himself like a begetting father. In spite of their impureness, he still ruled them as a father. And in his writing, he gets himself exposed, not only as one absolutely with God, one with God, but also as one so pure. No motive in the Lord's work. Just so pure, no motive. So he was bold, he was frank, he was direct. He has no motive, he has no intention, but Christ and his body. He's only for this. He's pure. Pure to the uttermost. If we all in the church are so pure, I must assure you there'll be no problem.
Dick, this is a very exposing word. Oftentimes, in the church especially, where we have close contact with the other saints, the politeness, the niceness, can be a camouflage for a lot of impurity just beneath the surface, can't it?
Really, really true. And so that's why we're not here just to be merely polite people. We may actually be being political people. But behind the politeness, like Brother Lee said, is the dirty thought, the impure thought. That impure thinking does a lot of damage to the church life. So may we be preserved from this by desperately running to the Lord who's in our spirit, saying, Lord, keep me in one spirit with you. Just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. As long as we remain in this wonderful, precious union, then we enjoy the pureness and the cleanness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this was Paul. He practiced this union, so he enjoyed this pureness, he enjoyed this cleanness, and therefore he could be bold, frank, and direct. I think when we hear this, it just infuses us with the desire to be like Paul and to really contact the Lord in such a way and be constituted with Christ as such a pure, clean person. And I just appreciate, again, this matter of when Paul exercised in such a way to vindicate his apostleship and to speak so boldly and frankly with his intention being so pure and so clean, he closed the door on all this garbage and demonstrated what our Christian life should really be like and how we should carry out the Christian work. The work of the Lord should be in such purity and such cleanness and in such oneness with Christ, our living Lord, who is right now in our spirit.
He comes to them with this bold, frank, clean, pure word and motive, and in a sense, he's really doing a very careful surgery on the believers in Corinth. And those ones that had had these impure thoughts had to be exposed, just as I feel, and I think most of us probably feel a degree of exposing from this kind of word once we, you know, really touch the spirit of the one who wrote it and understand his motive being so pure. You can't help but be exposed ourselves. And yet he carefully, surgically helps them, exposing them and then bringing them back to Christ as the only way that we can be rid of this kind of impurity infecting our being.
That's really true. So his speaking here is really like Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah.
The word of God is living, operative.
Sharper.
Sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing soul and spirit, and discerning the thoughts and intents of our heart. So not only do we get exposed, Paul gets revealed as a proper pattern, but we get desperately driven to be one spirit with the Lord and to be reconstituted with him. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need you.
Healthy teaching today, Dick, and healthy surgery. I think we've all been under the scalpel a bit. Thank you for your fellowship.
You're welcome.
Well, our time is up. We do invite you to contact us. This message is one that I think has touched a lot of God's people that have heard it. We hope you'll get the printed word to go along with it. It's worth coming back to, sharing probably with your friends who could benefit from the same kind of faithful, bold speaking that we heard from the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
His word was opened up through the ministry of Witness Lee that we're privileged to bring you each day on this program, Life Study of the Bible. Our toll-free number, if you'd like to contact, is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. Join us again tomorrow. We'll return with another life study in the book of 1 Corinthians. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to thee. Receive us into
every Christian who has believed into Christ and received him has a desire to grow in him. The greatest hindrances to the experience of the growth in life are not outward circumstances and environmental hardships. Rather, they're a mind in need of renewing, a will in need of submission to God, and an emotion in need of stability. In the book, The Breaking of the Outer Man for the Release of the Spirit, Watchman Nee provides a clear picture of the need for the breaking of the outer man so that the life of Christ in our spirit can flow out as rivers of living water to refresh and build up the people of God. In a new and revised translation of this spiritual classic, Watchman Nee provides crucial insight into the biblical revelation of the necessity of the dividing of our soul from our spirit. The Breaking of the Outer Man for the Release of the Spirit is available at Christian bookstores everywhere. Or you can order a copy from Living Stream Ministry by calling our toll-free number. That number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY.